Welcome back to our Psalms of History series. On Sunday mornings, we're working our way presently through 1 Samuel, and we're at an interesting time period of David's life in particular. This time period kind of comes out of David's great victory with Goliath, but it's before David really goes on the run. So there's some conflict that's happening between David and King Saul. Now, during this time period, 1 Samuel 19, 20, 21, these chapters, we often kind of fly by it. We zoom through it without really kind of wrapping our brain around what's going on in David's life. A lot of things going on in his life. Aside from just the conflict with King Saul, he's got this brotherhood that's blooming with Jonathan. He's gotten married to Saul's daughter, Michal. And it's also during this period where, yes, David is still playing the harp for Saul. When this distressing spirit comes upon him, he's playing the harp for him. He's still having spears thrown at him. On three different instances, this occurs. But David has also been made charge. He's been made a commander over roughly, it's estimated to be about 1,000 men. So he has a military position. This time period covers probably a couple of years of his life. He had no formal training. Again, he was just a shepherd boy there in Bethlehem leading up to Goliath. So he's probably gone through training, gone through equipping. Later on in the story, we'll see that he kind of substitutes, he trades in the sling for a sword. But David is in charge of armies. Now, he's leading men into battle. He's leading men into combat. Specifically, he's taking on the Philistines or making incursions into the land. Saul is sending David to the front lines, hoping that the Philistines will do him a favor, that David will die in battle. Just as a quick example, in 1 Samuel 19, in the midst of a whole bunch of things that are going on, verse 8 we read, "And there was war again, and David went out and fought the Philistines and struck them with a mighty blow, and they fled from him." Now the reason I bring this up is there's a lot of psalms that David wrote regarding conflict, battle, warfare. And a lot of times these psalms will get attributed to later in his life when David is king, when he's defining the boundaries of Israel. And yet I think some of these psalms that maybe we punt to the end of his life, or at least once, you know, during his reign, maybe were written during this season where he's a young man being charged over other men to take them into battle, and he writes psalms. As an example, and again, we can't be dogmatic that this was definitely written during this time period, but again, the whole idea of the Psalms of Histories is to look at psalms that David maybe wrote during these time periods to give us a flavor, a feel for the things that are going on within his heart. A great example of this, and what we're going to look at right now, is Psalms 144. So Psalms 144, it's a Psalm of David, and I think you'll get a good idea of the feel here and how this reveals a bit of his heart, things going on within his mind. It begins, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock." I love that, my rock. That the Lord was his foundation, was sturdy. You know, as a man that would build his house on the sand that shifts, that isn't sure, David, his foundation, his life was based on the rock, on the Lord, his rock, so that no matter what was going on and how uncertain things, he had this foundation that was always sure. "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." I like to think that this psalm happened early in David's life because, again, he's a young man. He's unexperienced. He lacks a lot of the seasoning of warfare. He's a little wet behind the ears, so to speak. And so the Lord is my rock, and he says, and he trains my hands for war, that when it's all said and done, the Lord is behind him, and my fingers for battle. Verse 2. "My loving kindness and my fortress," speaking of the Lord is my high tower and my deliverer. He's my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Again, David being charged a leader over men, something totally different, a whole new experience. Again, coming out of the fields, his only experience is leading sheep, and now he's leading men. And instead of looking to his own strength or his own natural leadership abilities, of which he had many, He's looking to the Lord. It's the Lord that's my rock. The Lord is the one who trains me up. He's my high tower. He's my deliverer. He's my shield, the one in whom I take refuge. You know, a lot of these warfare pictures, these analogies are very relevant. Now, David's writing them because he's actually going into hand-to-hand combat. But for us, we do go into a hand-to-hand combat, so to speak, not battling against flesh and blood, as Paul would write, but we wrestle, we fight against spirits and principalities, the dark forces of this age that so much of the spiritual conflict that we're in presently as Christians gets likened to actual warfare or battle. Like we put on what? The full armor of God so that we can stand against the attacks of the enemy. Verse 3, Lord, David declares, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath, his days like a passing shadow. I'm sure that reality, just the fragility of life, how fragile things really are, is none too present or obvious in the midst of warfare, of battles. You know, what I've never been in war, but when you watch, you know, great pictures like Saving Private Ryan or The Patriot, or you know, you see in the midst of conflict, I mean, people are dropping like flies around you. You know, people, your comrades, alive one moment and dead the next. Like, what is man that you're mindful? Just the fragile nature. Man is like breath. His days like a passing shadow. Verse 5, bow down your heavens. O Lord, come down. He's pleading with the Lord to intervene. Touch the mountains and they shall smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them, speaking of his enemies. Shoot out your arrows and destroy them. David recognizing that ultimately the victory is the Lord's and the victory is given by the Lord. Stretch out your hand from above and rescue me. Deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of foreigners whose mouths speak lying words, whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. He says, I love this, I will sing a new song to you, O God. On the harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you, the one who gives salvation to kings, who delivers David, his servant, from the deadly sword. I can imagine as David comes back, maybe from this one verse battle against the Philistines where God gives him this victory, and he comes back to the palace of Saul and he's playing music for the king and he's writing songs, these expressions of his heart. He's thinking, man, I am way above my skis, and yet, Lord, you're my rock. You're my deliverer. You're the one that's in control of all of these things that I face. You're my salvation. I face enemies, but you give victory. And so I'll sing a new song, this praise to the Lord. I love he references an instrument, a harp of 10 strings, that God is the one who delivers his servant David from the deadly sword. Verse 11, rescue me and deliver me from the hands of foreigners, those who speak lying words and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Again, their power, the right hand, the hand of strength, their power is in their deceit, their propaganda, their lying. The ability to twist reality, to cause us to question, to doubt, to walk in unbelief. He's saying, strengthen me, rescue me, whose right hand is a hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in the palace place. We stand for truth. We fight for God. May you raise us up. May you exalt us, that our barns, that the storehouses may be full, that God would yield a blessing, an increase. Yes, there's enemies. There's a real enemy that's wanting to what? Steal, to kill, to destroy us. And yet we have a God that delivers us and wants to bless us, that our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, everything that we might need, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our field, that our oxen may be well laden, very productive, strong, fruitful, productive, that there may be no breaking in or going out, that no one might steal, that there might be no outcry or rebellion in the streets. And then he closes this song of praise. He says, happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. And it's capital L-O-R-D, whose God is the living God, the personal God, Jehovah, the God of Israel. Again, David, young man, new adventures, new battles. And yet as he's facing these things, as he's going out, he's recognizing that it's not by my might, it's not by my power, but it's by the Spirit of God, says the Lord of hosts. David recognizes that God is his rock, God is his deliverer, God is the victor. And his job is to recognize that, but then rely on that and seek the Lord for victory in the midst of battles. If you find yourself facing uncharted waters, if you find yourself facing battles that you've never encountered before, enemies that are new, and you feel inadequate, if you feel unable, you can relate to, I think, a young David here. And yet this psalm is to provide encouragement. That get your eyes off of whatever's in front of you and get your eyes onto the Lord, because, hey, again, happy are the people in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. If you like this psalm, I encourage you to check out calvary316.tv/histories. You can find all of the Bible studies covering 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, as well as any psalms that relate to those particular passages of Scripture.